No Jumper, coolest podcast in the world. And today we got one of the hottest names coming up out of LA right now, Blast. How you feeling, man?
Feeling great. Then you said hottest in LA? That's crazy.
I mean, it's early, but I'm very optimistic. And it's crazy because I was having a phone call with DJ Head last night, and he was saying the same thing. He's like, that's the first artist that I ever interviewed, and I just tried to sign him immediately.
Absolutely. Shout out DJ Head, good mentor. Always giving me game, so yeah, shout out, bro.
Right. So how do you feel? Like, where do you feel like you're at in your career? Because it's kind of crazy because you know, you're like a relatively new name, but yeah. You're all of a sudden making like big moves. And like, you know, like the Mozzie video that just came out a few weeks ago is probably the most views you ever did on a song. And that's right. Got like a few million already.
Yeah.
How does it feel? And how are you sort of taking in all this new energy you're getting from people?
Man, honestly, it's been like a snowball effect as of recently since I put out my project, No Love Lost. It's been crazy. Like, a lot of people that I looked up to as a young age been showing love, tapping in. So yeah, I just use it as fuel and motivation and just keep going.
Definitely. It's cool too, because it's nice to see somebody getting attention out of LA that doesn't really have any kind of gimmicks going on or any sort of weird shit. A lot of people are using stuff besides music to get attention, and it doesn't feel like you're really all that interested in that.
Nah, yeah, I'm strictly about the music. I'm real simple, quality over quantity. So I'm always in the studio, always trying to become the best version of myself. So yeah.
So you're from LA from a young child? Talk about where you're from exactly.
Absolutely. I'm from South Central LA. Grew up in my grandparents' area, 75th and Central.
Okay.
But I went to high school in the IE also.
Oh, really?
That's where my dad stayed, yeah.
Oh, so you would go out there, what, during the week to go to school? Or,
yeah.
Or
so
you
high
wouldn't
school,
bus all the way to the IE every day, would you?
Nah, hell. Oh, okay. Nah, I stayed out there with my dad for like right. For a minute. So I would always be back and forth to LA in the IE.
Right. Okay. Yeah. So do you feel like that gave you a different perspective? Were the kids out there totally different than the kids you were
hell
around
yeah.
on the block?
Hell yeah. The school system was different, it was more strict. And then, but also, it was like I was to myself a lot too, because I don't really know nobody out there.
Right.
But it was cool. Like, that's what got me into music. Like, just being able to isolate myself and learn shit at a quicker pace.
Right.
Because there was nothing else outside to do.
That's kind of crazy. I feel like it's such a consistent thing on with people I speak to, that it feels like the people who blow up a lot of times or become like really great artists or whatever, so often are people who are maybe from the hood or from a certain area, but then that like whatever the situation is in their youth, they end up being exposed to like different ways of life
yeah.
early on. You feel like that going to the IE and sort of like having, you know, a different experience than a lot of the other people that are from the same area that you're from might have like made you more of an artist or made you more prepared for it?
Yeah, I would for sure say it gave me a different perspective. Like my sister, when we stayed in South Central, she got jumped. So my mom was like, I was the only boy. So she was like, I'm not having you go to high school out here. Mm. That's when I moved with my pops. And I would say it definitely gave me a different perspective, because I start skateboarding and shit, like shit that I normally wouldn't do in the hood. You know what I'm saying? So, yeah, it gave me a different look on life.
That's interesting. Do you think the IE deserves the hate it gets? Didn't Tyler, the Creator, have a super viral tweet about the IE a few years back, and everybody was all fucking riled
what'd
up about it? I forget exactly what he said. I think he was shitting on it. He's like, motherfuckers say they're from LA, but they from the IE or something like that.
Nah,
and
yeah.
Every person I know from the IE was like, I got to defend the Inland Empire, man.
Shit, I mean, no comment on that. Shout out to my niggas in Upland, you know what I'm saying? I went to Upland High, so.
Okay.
But yeah, I'm from LA. That's how I put it.
Right.
Yeah.
But you were making, so you really got into making music when you were out there, just because you sort of had more time to yourself?
Right. It was like a situation to where I was bored and just wanting to learn anything. So I was on YouTube just figuring out how to make beats or how to record myself. And I fell in love with like graphic designing, like, you know, shit you wouldn't normally do if you was outside. Like,
right.
I had the time to do it because I had that time on my hands.
No, I love that. When I heard you saying that in another interview, I was like, man, that's so cool, just because I feel like a lot of people sort of miss out on that there's so much value to be had if you can learn every other step of the process of making a record. And like, you started making beats, you started doing Photoshop and figuring out how to edit and make your own videos and shit.
Right, yeah. So I do a lot of my post-production too to this day.
Right. Yeah, actually, Head, when I was on the phone with him yesterday, he's like, he's the only artist I've seen since Ty Dolla $ign that's really like in touch with how to do so many different parts of the recording process, which I thought that was a pretty big compliment, because everybody who's ever been around Ty when he makes music always says that he's like one of the most talented like overall dudes.
Yeah, nah, that's a fact. Shout out Ty too. That's one of my for sure inspirations.
Definitely. So did you get wrapped up in like getting in trouble while you were in LA or anything, or did you manage to kind of keep your nose clean? Were you not that kind of kid?
I mean, when you were younger, of course, like just trying to figure out life and shit. I was just running around with the homies. Like when I think about me being little, I think about me just riding on bikes, throwing rocks at cars and just doing dumb shit, fighting with neighbors. And but yeah, I mean, as you get older, you start learning like territories you're not supposed to be in. And but also my mom was very strict though at the same time. Like she always stood on integrity. So she always instilled that in us. So I always knew my limits at the end of the day.
Mm. Yeah. So you never really felt too tempted to sort of go down a different path? Were you like a good kid in school and shit like that? Were you focused in that regard?
I was a class clown for sure. Yeah, I would say that. I actually went to continuation school like in 10th grade.
Really?
But it was honestly because I broke my ankle skateboarding.
Oh, really?
So yeah, I didn't want to crutch around school. So I was like, man, fuck this shit. I'm not going to school. And then I was like, I was long credit, so I had to go to continuation school.
Right.
Which was cool for me because continuation school is like your periods is shorter, but you get quicker credits.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So yeah.
Have you left the skateboarding behind at this point?
Absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I still fuck around a little bit, but yeah, definitely in the past.
Did you ever feel like you were really talented at that?
I really thought I was. Like I was hitting rails and stairs and all kind of shit. Yeah. So
that's dope. But at a certain point, the music just took over.
Yeah, it took over for sure.
I feel that. How do you like figure out your style? Like when you first started making music, did you think you were going to be a rapper, and then you sort of happened upon singing or whatever your style is now?
I was really just experimenting with everything. Early on, I was singing. A lot of people don't know. And then I just fell in love with like wordplay, like lyrics and rapping and stuff. Then I got back on to singing. Like when I was rapping, I was kind of insecure about my voice as far as being melodic and stuff. But later down the line, I just felt like my voice developed to where I can find a good pocket. I don't even look at myself as the best singer, but I look at myself as like a good song creator.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying?
Definitely. Yeah. Do you see what you're doing as being so fundamentally different than what a rapper is doing? Because it feels like these days, like the line between who I consider a singer or an R&B dude versus a rapper is like the line just keeps getting more and more blurred because, you know, you got somebody like Polo G who there's a lot of melody in like every verse that he does, but at the same time he feels more like a rapper. And with you, it kind of feels like structurally, you know, you're not as like R&B ish as certain artists, but you're clearly not rapping either.
Yeah, I mean, I think that comes a lot with what you talk about as well.
True.
You know what
true.
I'm saying? I talk about a lot about like relationship shit. So, you know, I mean, I speak on the street shit too, but it's really minimal with me on that aspect.
Is that just your personality or is that kind of a conscious choice that you make at a certain point where you're like, I want to focus on this side of life?
Nah, I mean, I just speak about what I know. Like, I'm not going to cap like I'm in the streets every day, you know what I'm saying? So, but what I am dealing with is relationship problems, you know? So I speak on what I'm dealing with firsthand.
Right.
And then, you know, as far as other shit I speak on is just what I go through on a personal, like struggles as a growing artist or, you know, typical shit.
Definitely. When you talk about relationships, though, are you the type of person who's dealing with a lot of different girls or are you just like letting one girl break your heart at a time?
Nah, I mean, shit. I'm a pretty picky man, I would say that. So I'm definitely speaking on a specific relationship, you know what I'm saying? And just the challenges that you face when you're trying to create a career for yourself and set goals and accomplish them, but at the same time trying to balance being in a relationship and being a family man, because I have a son as well.
Oh, really?
So yeah, just creating that balance as far as spending time away from my family, like that's what most of my content was about in my recent project.
Really? Okay. So yeah, because I mean, if you're in a relationship and then you start to go through a lot of serious changes, like what you've been through, even just, you know, your career is relatively new, but like, you know, even just in this short period of time, I mean, your whole life has changed so much. And for a relationship to stay consistent through that, it's going to be extremely difficult from my experience.
Yeah, it's inevitable. Like, it's what comes with this shit. That's what I always say. But it creates good content at the end of the day. So I'm right. grateful for it.
Have you ever been in like a blowout fight where you're like, you know, the girl's crying and you're screaming at the top of your lungs and shit, and you're thinking like, man, this is gonna eventually end up in a song?
Absolutely, all the time.
It crosses your mind, okay.
All the time, I'll be like, damn, this is gonna be a fire ass song. In the middle of the argument, I'll be thinking like of lyrics I could say from this argument.
Right.
It's fucked up, but it's the truth.
Do you think if you were in a perfect relationship where you just weren't dealing with much problems that you might kind of run dry on shit to talk about in your music?
That's a fact. I feel like life gives you experience, you know what I'm saying? So the most fucked up shit you go through, is what people relate to, because everybody going through fucked up shit. It's not like everybody's living perfect on every aspect. So yeah, I always look at it like that.
Definitely. Who would you describe as like your biggest musical influences throughout your life and even right now?
Off the top of my head, I think of Ryan Leslie.
Really?
Yeah. Because when I was younger, he had this crazy ass video on YouTube where he made the beat from scratch, wrote the song from scratch, and he did it. It was like early on before YouTube was even like popping like that.
Right.
I was like, damn, like that shit made me realize it was possible to, you know, be talented in every aspect instead of just one certain, you know, thing.
Right. Definitely. Okay, wow. So he's like the biggest one. That's interesting. Is there anybody more in like the R&B type category that sort of appeals to you in that regard? I've been listening to a lot of Tusi. I don't know if you're familiar with him or not, but he's like up and coming dude that as I was listening to him, your new shit, I was like, man, you know what? I feel like both of these dudes are kind of realizing like similar things through their music.
You asked me like anybody recently?
Yeah, just anybody that stands out to you is that sort of has influenced your style.
I would say Ty.
Yeah.
Ty's pretty fire. I like, bro. I seen him come up, so, you know, just being from LA. And I like his growth. I can relate to him a lot.
Definitely. I was seeing that somebody said that Kendrick was showing you love. How did that happen?
Oh, that was actually through a song I produced a minute ago called Do Yo Gutta. It was like a local song, but it went viral. The artist, and his name is J3 Hitter from Compton.
Right.
Yeah, so he hopped on a remix, Kendrick, YG, and Problem.
Wow.
And that was like pretty viral around the city, yeah.
Oh, that's dope. What, YG has tapped in with you too. How did that happen?
He just tapped in on Instagram. A lot of people just been tapping in the DMs, like, bro, I respect what you got going. Let's work on some shit.
Right.
Yeah, YG, he invited me to his video shoot with his artist, Day Salon. I think that's
her name. Yeah, I interviewed her. She's dope.
Yeah, and it was cool vibes. I fuck with YG. He cool.
Right. Yeah, no, YG's great. Did he try to sign you? I feel like he tries to sign all the popping new talent out here.
Hell nah, he didn't come at me like that.
Okay. Did you sign with somebody sort of early on in your career that you're no longer with? I heard somebody tell me that
yeah,
you
were so in a weird situation early on. I was from a group called TIU Music.
Okay.
A minute ago. That was way early on, like fresh out of high school.
Really?
Yeah.
So you somehow got in this group? Were you guys actually friends, or did they put you in a group?
Yeah, so actually it was somebody I went to high school with, and his sister started a group, and it was a collective of artists, like 10 artists.
Right.
And yeah, that was my first channel of putting out music. So we put out a couple projects, and it was me and King. We was a duo, actually.
Uh-huh.
And that pretty much taught me the ropes of just like creating a brand, adding merch to your brand, and just releasing music independently.
Right.
Yeah.
Were you caught up contractually there for a little bit, being that you signed as a group? No, it wasn't nothing like that?
It was nothing crazy, nah.
Okay. Interesting. So it sounds like you've written for a bunch of people too, though. Like, how did you end up getting into that situation? And does that take away from your focus on your own career ever?
Sometimes, like, I feel like you got to be in a certain mode to be willing to give other people your art, especially me being in a position I'm in. Like, I feel like I'm a new artist still. Like, I'm still making my first impression. So you don't want to give up all your sauce. But, you know, sometimes you got to do what you got to do to get in the gates.
Right.
Yeah.
Because that Mozzie song, you said that was originally supposed to be you writing a hook for somebody. And
right,
he just fucked with your vocals enough that he just left it on?
Exactly. That shit was crazy. Shout out Davo, which is Mozzie's manager.
Okay.
Because we was doing some writing camps for the Fast and Furious soundtrack.
Wow.
And then, yeah, Davo, he was fucking with me. He was just sending me beats, like, try some hooks for this. I did that hook for Mozzie. Mozzie said he wanted to keep me on there.
That's lit. That's pretty big deal.
I didn't even meet Mozzie up until the point we shot that video.
Right.
Yeah.
That's crazy. So when you wrote that song, because sometimes when you write a song, you're thinking of it from a different perspective. Like, I think of fucking Yachty writing that City Girls song that, like, went viral when everybody found out, because everybody was, like, laughing at the idea of Yachty writing lyrics as a bad bitch. Yeah. When you wrote that song, were you not really in any specific mentality? You were writing as if it could have just been you?
Nah, I'm always writing from my perspective, unless it's, like, specifically told to me, like, oh, this is for this artist.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm always writing from my own perspective.
Right. Yeah, because it must be kind of hard for you. Like, you could write a song and think, this is an amazing song. Like, this could be the song that really blows me up. But then also at the same time, that same song, you could sell it to an artist and make a small amount of money right there. And then it's going to pay the rent for a couple months.
Yeah.
Versus sitting on that song and just hoping that the public is ready to hear you put that song out, right?
Yeah. But I feel like I have that gift to, like, any song I write, there's some artist, it's some artist out there that can say them same lyrics.
Right.
Because I feel like my lyrics is relatable across the board.
Right.
No matter what I'm talking about.
Yeah, and there's a lot of, like, the most successful artists that have just written shitloads of songs for people, and we don't know. Like, and it might seem unbelievable if we actually knew artists who have, like, tons of huge records, and then find out they actually have 20 other records that they wrote for other people that were huge hits.
Right.
Yeah, it's kind of crazy. Okay, so I feel like with this project, though, you went in sort of like a specific direction where you didn't do any features. You kept it sort of in a very conceptual lane, whereas, like, you've also been doing a bunch of features with rappers and stuff. Does it feel like that the project No Love Lost is kind of more of a representation of, like, you as an artist, whereas, like, you going and doing features with other artists is kind of a different thing?
Yeah, absolutely. And it wasn't intentional at first, because I was supposed to have Beano on one of the songs. But it just turned out like that. Like, I produced the whole thing. I wrote the whole thing, of course, and I mixed everything. But yeah, it just happened like that.
Right. No, it's interesting. Do you consider it like a concept album? Because there's like a common theme sort of running through the whole thing, like the idea of no love lost and, like, the various meanings that they can kind of take on and throughout the project.
Yeah, it's definitely a concept album. I feel like that's the mode I was in, that's the mindset I was in. And like, projects I look up to is very conceptual, you know what I'm saying? So I'm definitely big on, or like, that's what I wanna do, like, in the future as well.
Right, just sort of like create like real cohesive bodies of work that feel like they have meaning and more.
Facts.
Really, like, you know, because that's eventually, like, how you're going to be judged, is by, like, you know, when you go to the Spotify or the Apple Music and you see that row of albums and you have real fans who look at each of those projects as this, like, powerful experience that they went through when they first found out about that. That's kind of like the best case thing that people could see from you.
Yeah, I like everything to tie in to each other. You know what I'm saying? One of the persons I look up to is Adam Sandler. Like, it was his YouTube video where it was breaking down every movie and how they tie into each other.
Right.
So, like, I like breaking down stories, and, like, when fans discover the actual meaning of shit, like, that's the type of shit I'm into.
Right.
Yeah.
That's actually really interesting. Adam Sandler, man, I grew up on his early shit. I don't know that much about his, like, latter career, but, like, dude, Billy Madison, when I was a kid, that was the whole thing. And Happy Gilmore. And I'm not really sure what the connection is between those two. But
yeah, nah, the nigga's he's a goat for sure.
I feel like everybody respects Adam Sandler because he's rich as fuck and he still dresses like total
regular
shit.
The boy is regular. It's crazy.
Double XL basketball shorts down to his fucking ankles. And it's just like, damn, like, you got millions and millions of dollars and you don't give a fuck.
Right.
Yeah. So do you drink? Do you smoke? Are you? I feel like I didn't hear you really talk about those on the project, so it almost makes me think that you don't.
I don't smoke. I drink occasionally.
Right.
But what I do smoke CBD.
Oh, nice.
So, yeah, that's something that I got into recently, actually. It helped me with, like, my anxiety and stuff. Like, I'm not the most social, you know, person, but CBD helps me get through that.
What do you vape it, or are you like, fuck, I see people rolling CBD blunts of, like,
right, they got buzz, but I'll be smoking the pre-rolls.
Really?
Yeah.
And you like that a lot more than actually getting high?
Absolutely. If I smoke some weed right now, I'll be in this bitch tripping.
Yeah?
Hell yeah.
You be running around acting crazy, or are you just going to be sitting there slumped?
Nah, I'd just be super paranoid looking around. Like,
right.
thinking he finna kill me or something.
Yeah, shit, he might. I don't trust him. No, but that's interesting because, like, me and AD will be doing these live streams where we listen to the fans' music on here. And, you know, I'll roll, like, 3 blunts, and he'll just be sitting there, like, having a few drinks. And as he smokes weed, like, I will just be watching the effect that weed has on him. And he goes from so loud and crazy and lively to, like...
Exactly.
It like changes him so much, and it's weird because, like, I don't realize that's happening to me.
You smoke weed, right?
I smoke weed, but I also, like, don't smoke weed before I do a podcast because I know what it's going to do to me. Right. It's going to make me a little bit too laid back, you know?
I feel you.
Mm. But so the drinking thing, it's more of a once in a while type thing?
Yeah, like, I'm a social drinker, or if it's like an event or something, I'm not just drinking at the house, like, you know what I'm saying?
I feel that. Yeah. One of my employees, him and his girl, they just be getting drunk as fuck on stream together, and it kind of blows my mind because I feel like
there?
No, not her. I don't know what her and her boyfriend are doing, but to me, that's like, if you can get drunk as fuck with the person that you're dating all the time and not end up wanting to kill each other, that's extremely impressive.
That's different.
Yeah,
that's different. That's a challenge for sure. I couldn't do that.
Yeah,
I'd be mad when, like, if somebody else drunk and I'm not drunk.
Oh man.
That's the worst.
You show up at a party and a bunch of people are on coke and drunk as fuck, and they're yelling in your face, and you're just like,
it's annoying.
Bro, what are you doing? Like,
that's a fact. That's like a pet peeve for sure.
Definitely. When did you become vegan?
This was like 5-6 years ago now.
Really?
Yeah.
What caused it? You're just concerned about your health, or?
At first, it was a group thing. Like, all the homies around me, that was like, fuck it, we just gonna try some shit on some random shit.
Uh-huh.
But then when I start doing my, like, history as far as my family health history, a lot of people in my family had heart attacks and was like obese and stuff. So I just took it upon myself to go that route.
That's dope.
Yeah.
You didn't notice any negative side effects or anything? You've had a fully positive experience with it?
Yeah, I mean, the only thing I would say is certain places is bland. Like, if you on the road, of course. But once you find your little go-to places, or if you cooking for yourself, you solid.
Mm.
Yeah.
What's your go-to favorite meals being vegan? Like, that actually gets the job done?
I would say the Beyond Burger. That's that always comes in clutch.
They got the Chipotle. They got the tofu there that you can order now, I've seen.
Yeah. I'm not really big on the Chipotle tofu. But
really? Damn. I'm still a Chipotle fan, man. I'll never give it up.
No, I love Chipotle, but the tofu.
Oh, the tofu is not good? Yeah. Interesting.
Yeah.
That's what's up. So you would probably be on tour and doing all kinds of crazy shit right now if you weren't locked down. Do you feel that? The COVID sort of slowing the growth up a little bit?
That's the only thing I'm mad at. Like, I feel like it would have been a perfect time to sell out the Roxy or do the Observatory. And, that's what I'm missing out on right now. Even before this shit, I did a couple shows with Beano, and it was different because they knew the words.
Right.
So that energy is what I'm missing right now, like, from the fans.
Yeah, being an up-and-coming artist and going out there and performing your songs in front of an audience that has never fucking heard of you and doesn't know one single word to your songs is, like, that's a huge part of the trial by fire that you got to go through to make it as an artist. Because when you see a really big artist and they're performing and they got everybody screaming the words back in them,
yeah,
it's easy to be a superstar. Exactly. Then
you ain't even got to sing the words.
Getting through that period where they don't know any of your songs. And have you ever seen an artist come out and make the audience love them in the course of one performance?
Right.
That's some of the craziest shit I've ever seen.
I've seen that probably like one or two times.
Yeah.
It's this artist named Tish Hyman.
Okay.
She got the coldest voice. She from New York, fire. Like, if you hear her sing, you get chills.
Really?
First time I seen her perform, I was like, damn, that's crazy. But, you know, that's a talent to have stage presence. You know what I'm saying?
For people to be that impressed by your talent and your charisma and shit when they haven't heard the songs before, like, even if you don't really fuck with an artist, but you've heard a song 10 times,
yeah,
and they come out and perform that song, but you heard it 10 times, so you kind of know the words. I mean, that... it's easy to enjoy something when you heard it mad times, you know?
Yeah, it's fun. It's fun.
Definitely. So what have you been working on? You just work on music all the time, even though this project just came out, or what's the mentality?
Well, right now, I mean, I'm always recording and making beats, of course. But right now, I'm focused on a deluxe that I'm going to put out for No Love Lost. And then I'm going to double back with Beano for the 6-tape part 2.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's what's up. So, okay, everybody gets to do the deluxe thing these days. That's interesting. How do you look at that, though? Is it a way, is it completely changed the project, or is it just sort of adding like the extras?
I look at it just like listening to my fans. Like a lot of people, of course, the EP is short.
Right.
And typically people don't do a deluxe for an EP. You know what I'm saying? They do it for albums.
Right.
So being that this is my first solo body of work, a lot of people are tapping in like, yo, we need more music. The song's too short. Why this song not on there? So I'm gonna put some songs that I put out previously that only been on SoundCloud on there. Then I'm gonna add some features. And yeah, things like that. I'm gonna add like 4 or 5 more songs.
Definitely. Are you you're not signed right now?
Yeah, so I did a partnership with Red Bull.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That's interesting. How's that going?
It's going great. Shout out Red Bull Records, man. It's lovely.
Oh, okay, because they are the ones who hit me up about you initially. Okay, yeah. And then, but I forgot about it right away because then I mentioned you to AD, and AD's like, oh, yeah, he's hard. You got to fuck with him. Everybody, like, I feel like in LA, it's like the worst kept secret that Blast is this new artist that everybody's got to check out.
Yeah, I love it. It's crazy because I feel like I'm still an underdog, though. You know what I'm saying? But everybody been showing love. Like, even AD. Shout out AD, man. I was supposed to do a fucking song with this nigga like 6 years ago. So the fact that you... Oh, he here?
Yeah. Oh, that's crazy. He's here right now?
Yeah.
Oh, shit. Oh, that's fire. Yeah, because AD actually, he always gives me a hard time about like not really appreciating R&B and shit. And so he's always hit me with his fucking playlists and shit.
I'm going to tell you right now, bro. I appreciate you having me because I wouldn't even expect to be on this type of show, you know what I'm saying?
Oh, no, definitely. I mean, as soon as I realized, like, oh, I could get this interview, I was hyped up because I'm like, oh, no, I could see this dude being fucking huge within a year or two.
Yeah, I've seen you shout me out on one of the episodes.
Yeah, yeah, no, I was just super impressed. And AD, because he's like a mega, like, closet R&B fan. Like, when you actually figure it out, he's like, yeah, because he gave me this R&B playlist. And then the third song is, like, him and Eric Bellinger.
Okay.
And I'm, like, immediately picturing, I'm like, oh, so this is what you do. You get girls to come over and you put on your R&B playlist, and then by song 3, they're like, oh, who's this rapping? Oh, that's me. Yeah, yeah, I'm on this shit too, you know? I'm like, I see the hustle right there. That's interesting.
I thought AD was a gangster. It's clearly, he's an R&B singer.
He is a gangster and a gentleman, apparently. They're saying. I heard. Okay, so, yeah, how long you think it's going to be till those projects are out? And for any of your fans, you got any words in terms of what's on the way?
Yeah, so the deluxe drop in late October. The 6-tape part 2 with Beano is no date yet, but hopefully it's going to drop end of this year or top of next year. Shout out to my Eagle fans, you know what I'm saying? I'm in a space where I feel like I'm still making a first impression. So right now my head is down and I'm just trying to create the best music.
Mm. So are you the Eagle or are your fans the Eagles?
Yeah, so that's the brand actually too.
Okay.
So the Eagle is one of the highest flying birds, but it doesn't fly in flocks. And I look at that as confidence, you know what I'm saying? So my thing is creating a conglomerate full of eagles where we can all fly solo, but when we come together, we're a force.
I like that.
Yeah.
The eagle's an impressive bird, man.
Absolutely. The traits, I relate to it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Got it. All right, yo, I'm very thankful that you came in here. I definitely want to see you and AD link up right here. That's going to be very hilarious to get you guys on camera together. But I appreciate you coming through and looking forward to more music for sure.
Yeah, appreciate you having me on your platform, dog.
No doubt, man.
Absolutely.
Shout out Blast, No Jumper, coolest podcast in the world. Check us out on YouTube, SoundCloud, and iTunes. Like, comment, subscribe.
Sheesh.
Appreciate y'all.